WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Yes, it is another Monday night talk. My name is Kevin Tachi, but I am not flying solo this evening. Joining me is someone who was on this program a couple of weeks ago.
Two-ish.
I think couple is the same as two, right?
Could be three.
Yeah, but I didn't say few. See, you're already getting a preview of how the show's going to be.
Exactly. It's a good start.
We have Megan Driscoll Greenstein.
Yes. Greenstein. I respond to either, though. Thank you.
She is my co-host for the evening. Could be hearing a lot more of her in the near future. And we have a fantastic show. Now, I will tell you in full disclosure that I was trying to have a show filled with powerful women.
But
that usually takes place Sundays at 12:15. So we do our own Monday night version and have some fantastic. But unfortunately, some of the guests that I was trying to get, unfortunately, their schedule they couldn't accommodate this time. So we can do it in future shows.
That means I get to come back.
Well,
good with that.
Well, it depends on what happens tonight. obviously, Ben is a fan, as you see.
Thank you, Ben.
He's got his finger stuck on the applause button.
You can applaud.
Always, you know it.
Okay.
It's a great show. Have it ready.
So we got a fun show tonight, do we not?
We do.
Okay. Even though it's not filled with fantastic ladies, we have some great guests. Starting out with the State House report with State Senator Bruce Tarr. What do you think of that?
I'm looking forward to hearing about this legislation, actually. So I'm looking, it's female related. It's to honor female cadet nurses, so I think that's cool.
They honor them from World War II.
Yeah.
And so this is
it's
something.
About time.
This is a bill that was sponsored and put forth by the Senate Minority Leader and has been adopted by the State Senate. Of course, we'll find out where it is and why the senator. We've had the senator on many times before. Looking forward to it. And then who do we have following after that?
We have Aaron Andrews, who is from a company called Straight Line. And it's a Plymouth-based payroll and accounting firm. And they're going to talk about, or she's going to talk about, the state's new paid family and medical leave law, which actually begins on September 1st. So
yes.
If we need to know about it, now is the time to know.
So, and we're going to run down all of the, maybe there might be prospective employers out there who are like, I'm sure that they're ahead of the curve on this.
But it's complicated.
It's very complicated.
And it's a big law. It's a big change, though.
So why not bring in the big guns? And yeah. We'll bring in, Erin is coming in. What's interesting is I got an email from one of their PR people who were like, we listen all the time, and we think it would be great to have Erin on. I said, sure, absolutely.
Definitely.
So our number two is just as fun as our number one.
This is really fun.
Do you want to tease who our 7 o'clock guest is?
I'd be happy to, because this is really fun. So many people probably know him from Not This Reason, right? So Ben Glebe. It's Glebe, I think is the way you say it, yeah.
It's not his real name. That's just kind of a shortened version of his name.
Oh, is it really?
I think it's like
Gleberson?
Glebeman.
I wonder why Nathan Glebeman.
But it's his... He goes by Ben Glebe.
If you know him and you look him up, you'd notice his face. You'd recognize his face. He's a comedian, and he's actually running for president, believe it or not.
Chelsea Lately.
Yep.
He was on that for a number of years.
And then the Game Show Network.
Game Show Network.
Big fan of whether it's Buzzer TV or Game Show Network.
I didn't really see him on that, but...
I saw him. Well, he was on Game Show Network, and it's the idiot test, and they did different things with people. My favorite ones are when they have the twins and see if the twins can actually connect with each other. It's kind of funny. So we're going to talk with him because he...
is running for president.
He is running for president.
Which is...
And if we haven't had a chance, I don't want to disclose awesome. It, but as I shared some information with you, some of the issues are kind of... His top issue is to stop crybaby Trump. That's like one of his top... And it gets even more interesting than that. But there's some seriousness. Again, this is somebody who is a comedian who is serious. Can I actually say that?
I don't know. It's a bit of an oxymoron.
It is kind of an oxymoron. Yeah.
But he is serious. I mean, he's running.
And we're going to hear all about it coming up at 7
yeah,
o'clock.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be fun.
And finally, this is somebody that you suggested, but I know Jen.
Which we figured out when I suggested her that you actually already knew her, which I thought was kind of a nice connection.
It's kind of a connection in the Access world. I do programming for a local Access center. And part of my job is to seek out some of the shows that are around the Commonwealth and around the country that we can put on for our subscribers in the Whitman and Hanson area. And Jen actually hosts a fantastic show called Women to Women. And I think it was revised to Women to Women Today.
Yeah. And that's how you knew her. But I didn't know her from that. So we knew her in different parts of her life.
And she's going to talk about what?
She's going to come on. She's the CEO and founder of an organization called She's Local, and they are putting on an amazing conference. I'm actually participating in the conference. I guess I'm biased, but an amazing conference for women upcoming October 10th and 11th. And so she's going to talk a little bit about that and what it's all about. And she's awesome. She's a force.
Met our friend Dave at this year's Cigar BBQ. Listen, Dave, it's not that I don't like the government. You got me all wrong. It's, I don't like a tyrannical government that rips its people off under the pretense of taking care of us, telling us the money is going to be used for something and then using it for something else. Obviously not the MBTA. No, no, no. 18's not an adult. 21 is an adult. Oh, by the way, you can't have that flavor and you can't have that style now that you're a big person. But go ahead, go down the bar and drink all the flavored booze you can and get as clobbered as you want. You want to talk about community impact? They finally fixed 44 down at Plymouth Ragua. It only took 20 years. How's that for community impact? Brennan's Smoke Shop. Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford. Brennan's Smoke Shop. The best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Because we pay our taxes. Dave.
Be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we are back. Kevin Tachi, Megan Driscoll Greenstein, who is here as my co-host, as we are anticipating a phone call. Are you nervous? Because, see, you're here in a different capacity. You see, you were here, you had kind of...
like a point.
You had Rep Cutler who was kind of here.
There's a point to my existence last time I was here. Yeah,
so you just had to just like chime in. Now it's like.
I don't have a problem with that though.
I can see that.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. I guess there's a lot of things we can talk about.
You started right out of the gate like, oh, no, it's like two. Isn't that what a couple is?
Well, when it's exciting, something exciting happens. You know when it happened.
So I guess we're getting the high sign and joining us right now. So do you want to introduce?
No, you do it. I introduce the first time. You go.
We can flip a coin.
I don't want to steal your thunder here.
Okay. Joining us, this gentleman he has been on with us before. He is the Senate Minority Leader representing Gloucester. We have Bruce Tarr, Senator Bruce Tarr, joining us. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, sir.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back on Monday Night Talk. It's been a while, but it's certainly a show that I'm familiar with, and great to be back on the air with you.
Now, should we just for you rebrand this? Because normally I call this State House Report. Should I just call this Tar Talk just for the next 15 minutes?
Well, we'd always appreciate that, but, you know, we could hybridize it and say it's Tar Talk State House Update or something like that.
Ooh, I like that. I definitely like that.
It's catchy.
Now I have to ask you something real quick out of the gate, Senator. Knowing that we've seen a rush over the past couple of years of legislators up at the House Finding, well, I mean, a good friend of yours, Bob Hedlund, who is now mayor in Weymouth. We heard word of Sean O'Connell, who's going to run for mayor in Taunton. Is there anything in your future that you might be running for? Maybe something, a local office or something, and getting out of the... out of the State House?
Well, I actually enjoy very much being in the Senate and being here at the State House. So I think that's one we can rule out absolutely, Kevin. And of course, you know the old political maxim is never say never. But I think on that front, that's probably one that it's pretty close to a never.
Okay. And it's also worth making sure that I introduce Megan. Megan is my co-host this evening. Megan, say hi.
Good evening.
Well, good evening, Megan. It's great to be on the air with you. It's and I think great. we're both fortunate to be on the air with Kevin.
I would agree with that 100%.
And before we get right into the meat and potatoes, I was also asked by State Representative Josh Cutler to say to you that he's the co-chair. I guess he's the co-chair of the Coastal Caucus.
Correct.
Is that correct? He wanted to say hi to you.
Well, and I would pass those greetings right back, and particularly through the radio station, because I know that he may even be listening right now.
I bet he is.
And so I want to say hi to Josh and thank him for his partnership, Kevin. We have given some revitalization to the Coastal Caucus, which consists of members of the House and the Senate that represent the 78 coastal communities in Massachusetts, and we're working on a lot of issues together, and Josh has been a great partner, and it's really good to have him aboard.
So, but that isn't the reason why we have you here. We actually have you here to talk a little bit about a bill that you put forth that has been adopted by your governing board.
So we have moved it through the Senate, and it's now in the House awaiting approval there. We're hoping it's going to get very swift passage. But what it does is bring very long overdue recognition to a group of people known as the Nurse Cadet Corps. And what's interesting about this, Kevin and Megan, is that this is the largest group of uniformed women that have ever served our country. And a lot of people aren't aware of that, and that's one of the reasons we're trying to bring recognition to it.
I'm really happy to hear this, and I feel like I'm pretty up on most things women, and I did not know this, so this is like important stuff.
Well, it's a very interesting thing, and it takes us back to the days of World War II. The Cadet Corps was started in 1943, and as I understand it, the reason that it was created was because a lot of nurses here in our country were deployed to help people that were being injured in wartime. And so there was an urgent need to support public health in the United States to have a corps of new nurses that could come in and help. And so the Nurse Cadet Corps was started by the United States Public Health Service, and it was in existence from 1943 to 1948. And here's what's interesting, Megan. They initially inducted 180,000 young women. Their average age was 19, and they actually graduated from the program 124,000. So this was a massive effort for its time, and it would be a massive effort even today. And those folks served in 48 states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico in 1,250 programs.
Yeah.
So, Senator, this isn't the first action that you've taken. You actually did something last year as well to kind of to recognize a special anniversary.
Well, we did, and what we did in that case was a special act and a resolution recognizing the anniversary of the Nurse Cadet Corps. And what we're trying to do here, Kevin, is to make this a regular part of state government. And so what the bill would do is something fairly simple, and that is to ensure that July 1st of every year was proclaimed Nurse Cadet Corps Day in Massachusetts. So it's an initial step. But it's an important step to bring recognition to these folks that they have not had officially, and my hope is it will lead to other things. And so, for instance, there's a bill in the United States Senate, Senate 997, which would confer upon those who participated in this program the status of veteran. Obviously, we can't do that as state government. It's being undertaken as at the federal level. But there is an intermediate step that we could take, and that would be to put a plaque here at the State House recognizing this group of nurses. And as both of you, I know, have probably been visitors to the State House, we do have a part of the State House known as Nurses Hall, and it would seem to me that it would be fitting to recognize this group of nurses just as we recognize Civil War nurses in Nurses Hall more generally.
Why did it take so long to put forth this recognition, and how did it come to your desk? How did it come to your attention for you to take action?
Well, it, like many things, this was brought to us by a group of constituents, and in fact, I have on my desk, interestingly enough, a letter supporting this effort from a constituent who used to live in Hamilton, now lives in Topsfield, who you might be familiar with, and that is Mrs. Joanne Patton, who is the wife of the now deceased Major General George Patton, not the World War II general, but his son. And people like Joanne, who was a good friend, brought this together as an effort, and they're seeking recognition not only at the state level, but also at the federal level. And when they brought it to us, we naturally wanted to do our due diligence and wanted to do research, because we take veterans' issues very seriously, as I believe every legislator in the State House does. And we determined that this would be the right approach. And there was some discussion about what the date should be. And this is the date that the advocates thought would be the best. And so after all of that due diligence, we filed the bill. And I can't say the rest is history, because it's not yet history, but we hope it's history in the making.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I think is great, I mean, I think this is just an amazing thing to do for these largely, I imagine, women. But I don't know if there are any male nurse cadets. I'm not sure. But, I think the timing of it's kind of lovely, too, as they, are sort of in the sunsetting. This would be, I can imagine how incredibly grateful they will be to be invited to the State House to sort of commemorate this. It's a really, and Massachusetts is such a leader, we're a leader in this area of sort of doing the right thing even before the federal government gets along with it. So great job.
Well, thanks, Megan. And, I do want to point out, just for clarity, that at that time, this was the largest group of women who had uniformed women to serve the country. I'm not sure that in successive years that wasn't changed, but nonetheless, that makes this a very significant group. And they were all, in fact, women. And I actually am holding in my hand a report, or a summary of a report, that was given in February of 1945. By then Surgeon General Dr. Paran, and he was testifying before the House Committee of Military Affairs, and he indicated that by their best estimates, the members of the Nurse Cadet Corps were giving 80% of nursing in their associated hospitals, meaning to say in the hospitals that had the Nurse Cadet program, at the time, 80% of the care during the war was being given by these young nurses. And interestingly enough, they really, according to the Surgeon General, prevented a collapse of healthcare in those hospitals by coming to the rescue and providing a very valuable nursing service and very valuable public health service.
And we think often about what happens at war, and the respondents who are in places of war. We don't think about those that the gaps that leaves, So I think that's really important. Great job. I'm excited about it. You have my support as a constituent of Massachusetts.
Well, thank you, Megan. I think you should be the host with Kevin a lot more frequently, and I would endorse that idea.
I appreciate that.
Well, yeah, but we're still waiting for a vote from the House for that to happen.
Oh, I'll whip those votes, Kevin. Come on.
And Senator, and we're speaking with Minority Leader, State Senator Bruce Tarr, who is our guest for this segment. Long overdue to have you on, I might add. And I got to ask you this, though. What are you hearing in regards to the folks in the House? I mean, this should be a simple vote, or is it a matter of everybody's an informal session and you got to get enough people together to be able to take the vote, or what happens now?
That's more the issue right now. We are an informal session, and legislators are not meeting as regularly as they would throughout the rest of the year, but I have not heard opposition to the bill, and we are working now to gather support, and of course your listeners can help with that as well. And I'll just restate the bill number. It's Senate 2178, and folks can certainly call and help us move this along, but I do think now it's just a matter of the legislature being having an informal session until September, and when we come back, we need to establish this as a priority, and certainly one of the ways that can happen is for people to contact their legislators. And, you know, it's interesting, Kevin, even though I haven't been on in a while, I think you probably could have detected a little bit of hint of Captain Lou when I said to Megan, welcome aboard, because that would have certainly been one of his phrases on Nautical Talk Radio if we were in that time slot.
Ahoy, Megan.
Hope I'm not overboard.
Oh, no. But Captain Lou, what is it, 30, going on 30 years, he's been on the air doing a show here.
He has an amazing legacy, and I believe that Nautical Talk Radio, which is the name of his show on Sundays, has earned numerous awards for programming in that space related to boating and maritime issues, and I've always enjoyed being on his show as well, and it's certainly deserving of recognition, and he certainly has a few catchphrases that those of us who are faithful listeners have become familiar with.
Megan, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, I want to say that everybody has a nurse that they know and they love, right? So, like, if you have a nurse you know and you love, my best friend is a nurse, she delivered my daughter, go and call your legislator on behalf of them.
Absolutely. What a wonderful thing to do. To recognize the nurses in our own lives that mean so much. They do provide primary care. They're people that we spend a lot of time with in hospitals and other provider settings, and they really, for many of us, are one of the primary interfaces that we have with the healthcare system.
For sure.
And it's worth also noting that a lot of these surviving veterans are, I'm sure they got dwindling numbers where those who are surviving are, what, in their 80s and 90s, Senator?
They are, because they are from that World War II era of the Greatest Generation, and unfortunately we are seeing a lot of the veterans from that era, and certainly a lot of the nurses from that era that were in the Nurse Cadet Corps passing from our midst, and that's why it's even more important that as that happens, that we do everything we can to recognize them while they are here to realize that recognition.
Yeah, we think too late. So this is thanking not too late.
Better
late than never.
I always say, Kevin and Megan, that it is never too late and never inappropriate to thank someone who served our country.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we miss those opportunities when we should have taken advantage of them. And the most obvious example is what happened during the Vietnam War era. But now I've seen so much healing happen because of things like the moving Vietnam walls. By the way, one is coming to a community in our district in North Reading next week. And so actually it's going to be arriving this week. And what you see when those things happen is the power that we have as citizens of the United States to say thank you. And it is never too late, it is never inappropriate, and there is never the wrong time to do that.
Yeah. Hashtag grateful.
Yeah.
Are you going to be the one who coins the hashtags today?
Sure. Okay. Sure. I do that a lot. I'm a hashtag grateful guy.
Really? Okay.
Another innovation from Monday Night Talk.
There you go.
Look, well, the things I'm doing already. We just got started.
Oh, my God. Roll your sleeves up. Anything you want to touch upon, Senator, before? I know you're probably relaxing. Do you have a boat yourself? I'm sure Captain Luke could tell us one way or the other.
I'm sure Captain Lou could tell you a lot of the details about my boat, but I do, in fact, have a boat. I love time on the water. It's one of the things that is such an important aspect of life here in Massachusetts is our relationship with the ocean and the maritime environment. And so I enjoy being part of that as well. And not on it tonight. I'm actually at the State House right now, but we'll be heading this evening very shortly up to the village of Annisquam in Gloucester, where this is the last night of the production of the Annisquam Village Players of the musical Mamma Mia. And it's an amazing show and a very large cast from the community. And I will be making a brief appearance, as I have for the last several nights, in the play.
Really? Now, do you have a solo? Are you going to sing?
Yeah. Mamma mia, mamma mia.
Give us a sample.
Give us a sample. This is intriguing. We got to the good stuff at the end.
Well, first of all, we don't want to subject the audiences to my singing. And second of all, I don't want to jeopardize your broadcast license with the FCC by attempting that. But suffice it to say that I have a few lines, and there is some ad-libbing that takes place, and it's always fun. But I do join the chorus for the musical numbers, or at least one of them, so that my voice can be offset by all of the many talented people from the community who are in the show.
I used to do that in, you know what, it's funny, in chorus, in the fifth grade. You stand next to the loudest kid, and you just move your lips. It's
yeah,
the
you do
best
those?
Thing.
I'm going to add to that. You know what you do when you don't know what the words are? Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. When you say watermelon, it looks like all words. So maybe I've helped you out for tonight in case you have some issues. So,
you know, I'm going to remember that, and in just a short while, you may hear the words watermelon being uttered on the stage
everyone
at
will
the
thank
Anisquam
you.
Village Players.
Yeah, everyone will thank you for it.
Senator, we want to thank you for joining us, and let's not wait too long for the next time we have you on.
Thank you both very much, and Megan, congratulations on coming aboard, and Kevin, always great to talk to you, and thank you both for the job that WATD does by extension to keep the community informed and connected about important things. And when we come back into session in September, let's talk again, and we can tell you what's happening on this end.
Yeah, we can
Thanks
have
very
more
much.
More tire talk.
We can more tire talk.
Yeah, more tire talk.
It's extremely catchy.
Break a leg, not literally tonight on stage. Tonight,
yeah, right.
Senator.
Well, thank you both, and have a great evening.
You
there
too.
He is.
Bye.
Take care.
Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr joining us. That was a fantastic
He's a man of many talents.
He is. I still wanted him to sing, though.
I do, too, actually, kind of now, especially since he said he was in the chorus.
Yeah, he might be an alto, though. Maybe it's more of a bass.
Well, I'm clearly a bass.
Are you?
Yeah, clearly.
Okay.
My voice is low. It's low.
Really?
Low. I can do Stevie Nicks. Awesome.
So almost like Pitch Perfect, like what's her name there, Brittany Snow?
No.
Who's the...
Oh, I don't remember her name. Yeah, I've watched every one of those movies, too, because my kids are so young. But yeah, I do Stevie, and I'm low.
Okay.
You want a little landslide? I gotcha.
Maybe on the way back.
All right.
Let's step aside, and our next guest is warming up in the bullpen. We have Erin Andrews from Straight Line. She's going to be here joining us. Do you know everything you need to know when it comes to the new law, when it comes to leave, taking a family leave, paid leave? Find out more coming up in a few moments here on Monday Night Talk, heard only on 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers al fresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, we are... We're back. Kevin Tachi, Megan Driscoll Greenstein.
It's too long. We're going to have to settle something with that.
What do you do?
MDG?
MDG. But then just Megan.
Or Megan. Just call me Megan. It's too official with my last name. It's so confusing with the double blah blah.
Well, we anyway. Just omit the Driscoll.
That's a Yeah, well, let's just go Megan.
Although, I see a lot of your media where it's like the Greenstein.
Well, no, nobody knows me at home. I'm Driscoll at work.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Greenstein at home. Driscoll's like, so you kind of have to use them both.
On the South Shore in the Duxbury area.
Correct. Yeah. I have, like, you know, I'm a townie. So, in any event, let's just do with Megan.
And you know what? And we should probably, should be a disclaimer, is that Megan actually wanted to be at town meeting tonight.
I did want to be at town meeting tonight.
But she saw her duty as being on the show.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I sent two people in my place. So they actually got two votes instead of one because I wasn't there.
She got bitten by the radio bug 2 weeks ago.
I did get bitten by the radio
bug. Actually, it was a couple of weeks ago.
Two.
Anyway.
She's counting.
So joining us right now, first I want to thank Sheila, who's silently in the back of the room, who's kind enough to send a nice email saying, hey, you know, I have an interesting guest for you. And our interesting guest is Erin Andrews from Straight Line. And I have to tell you, as I actually had to check to see how to say this. Mm-hmm. And I probably messed up on your paperwork. Did I spell it right? Straight Line?
Well,
Pronounce.
Yeah, you pronounced it right, but I don't think you spelled it right, but it's okay. You pronounced it.
So just
so
folks know, there's a law, it's a statute that provides paid family and medical leave benefits to all Massachusetts workers. It's a requirement of law that's going to begin as of, oh my God, next month, September 1st. And Erin, who is with the Plymouth-based payroll and accounting firm Straight Line, has been working with business owners as to kind of get in line. What's like the first thing that when you pick up the phone and you say hello and like, hi, I'm a business and what do I do about this new law? What's like the first thing that you tell them?
Well, it's actually kind of interesting because this new law hasn't been in the news at all, really at all. So none of our clients or most of the public business owners even really know about it. So we're trying to do our best to educate our clients and any other business owners about the new law so they know what's coming down the pipeline because it's actually a huge burden on employers themselves. So
now, does it technically go into effect on September 1st, or is it a later date per se?
So there's a couple different phases. September 1st is when you have to start notifying your employees or your qualified workers as of September 1st and get signed forms from them as of September 30th. October 1st is when you have to start withholding taxes and paying in taxes from their paychecks or from your subcontractors, depending if they're qualified workers.
So how substantial is this tax? I mean, how much could it be?
The tax is actually pretty minimal. I think what the biggest burden is that it's also, it's not just for employees. Typically, any type of law or any type of payroll taxes for employees, this also applies to subcontractors. So for somebody that has subcontractors that's greater than 50% of their workforce, this is going to be huge because nobody pays their subcontractors by payroll or withholds payroll taxes or reports them except for annually on 1099. So the tax is pretty small, but the impact for the reporting, the compliance is going to be huge.
I have a question. So FMLA sort of starts or kicks in at 50 employees, mm-hmm. but I was reading about this, that this kicks in with 25.
So it
covered?
Actually, it kicks in at one employee. So so there's different thresholds. Again, Massachusetts can never really make anything simple. So if you have 1 to 25 employees, you are under one threshold. And if you're 25 employees,
so
over
every,
25.
So it really is every single business, regardless of size.
Yes. Yes, it even counts the business owners themselves.
You know what this is really hard for? I think this is really hard for small businesses who don't have a full-time human resources person devoted to them.
Yes.
And there are so many. Like when I started my company, I don't think we probably didn't have a full-time HR person until we were like maybe 50 employees.
Yeah.
I would have had to do this myself.
Oh, no, we have hundreds of small business clients, and not one of them has an HR person.
Yeah,
so it's actually huge. So
yeah, this is a big thing.
Yeah.
And mention the name of your company.
Oh, so
you are the founder?
I am the founder of a company called Pharmalogix Recruiting.
Oh.
Yep, it's based in Quincy, actually, and I started it in 2003.
That's great. It's really large, too. That's really great that you did that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good company. But I will tell you that, you know, this was some of the more difficult challenges that we had as we grew was understanding what laws and registrations and certifications and things that we needed when we didn't have the personnel to do that. So I think this is like really helpful that you're here because I'm sure my HR person knows about this, but I actually didn't know about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now we're looking at it from the employer's point mm-hmm. of view. What about the employee? What are the benefits that an employee what can they be able to use it for?
Mm-hmm. So I actually think this law comes from a good place. They will have taxes start being withheld from their paychecks October 1st, but they can't start actually taking the leave until January 1st of 2021. So, yes. So they're creating a bank for all this money so that January 1st of 2021, they can start applying or, you know, taking this paid leave. So I think it's great. I mean, I own my own company. I started working 8 days after my first child was born full time. I have other employees that I would have loved to give maternity leave to, but we couldn't. So I think it comes from a good place. They can do, there's all different, you know, lengths of time they can take, up to 12 weeks to care for a family member, up to 20 weeks for your own illness. You can, if you're a veteran, there's other things. So as soon as 2021 around comes around, then people can use it.
What happens if they don't use it?
It just goes into a bank. So it follows them, too, from job to job.
To wherever they go.
Yeah.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very family, female friendly.
I think so. Mm-hmm. And fathers, too. So let's say the woman takes her leave, then the father can actually be eligible to take their leave, too.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
The wife is, yeah.
And how do you get the benefits? Are you getting it through your company, or do you have to do like unemployment? You have to go through a state agency.
Yeah, so it's very similar to unemployment. It goes all into a pool. It follows you, like I said, based on you pay in based on your wages, and then you apply within whatever the PFMLA. They have a department now that you have to apply with that. They have to approve you, but you still have to obviously run it by your employer, and employers do have to approve it. But to not approve it would not be very pretty, I don't think.
And is there, how do you know the cumulative amount? How do you know how much you have?
Yeah, is there like log in?
No, so you can, it's just like unemployment. I forget the exact calculation. You have to work for, I think it's 3 months and earn $4,700 in wages during that time period. And then you're eligible to take it in. And it's based on, the amount that you take is based on the wages that you're paid. So it's a percentage. It's very similar to unemployment. And then the state tracks how much you've taken, and you can take up to 20 weeks each year, each calendar year.
Really?
Yes.
But how is it decided? Do you have to, because with unemployment, usually there's a whole process as to...
I'm sure there'll be
You have to
process.
Go through. Do you have to go through?
You do. You have to get...
get approval from
yes,
the agency?
Yes, you do. And a lot of legislation and the actual details have not been written yet about the actual leave because it's not effective till 2021. So more of the stuff that's... Yes, actually, we're getting new answers literally every day about the law. So a lot of what's going on now is starting the compliance and getting, you know, in line with what you need to do in a month. But they will have to apply, and they will have to approve you.
Well, there's nothing like getting themselves organized right in time.
Yep.
But is there a cap, though? I mean, is there an amount? I mean, what happens? Do you keep paying in, or do if you reach a certain threshold, the spigot shuts off?
Nope, you just keep paying in. It's so
in perpetuity, like forever.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. So forever. It's so typically like and you can't opt out. So as an employee, so typically with mass unemployment, if you're paying in, there's a wage base. So you can pay the employer pays in up to $15,000 in wages. They pay a certain percentage in, and if somebody collects, then your they take out of your pool, and then your rate gets reassessed every year, and their rate can increase. This rate is fixed and never changes. However, there is no wage limit. It's similar to Social Security. There is a wage limit on Social Security, but most employees don't make over, you know, whatever the limit of Social Security. So, nope, they just keep collecting, and if you don't use it.
How much of a percentage of your wages are retired? Like, what is the percentage?
It's pretty small. So it depends. Based on the 25 or under, or the 25 or over. So if you're under 25 employees and you're in the employer, you do not have to contribute at all to the to this tax at all. It all can be taken out of the employee's paycheck. They just changed it. I think it's 0.75%. They just changed it. And then if you're over 20...
Sounds like a local meals tax to me.
Yeah, it is fairly small. It doesn't really have a huge impact on the employee's paycheck.
Okay.
And then if you have over 25 employees, you have to contribute... 52% of that 0.75%, it's of that tax. And then...
So, like, you mean... Well,
it's kind of complicated.
Well, again, we're joining us from Straight Line is Erin Andrews. What's your role with Straight Line? Is this your company?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes.
So I should be saying, like, owner, founder and
CEO,
owner,
founder,
CEO, what's the...
President.
What do you have on your door?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, Ed Perry downstairs has Ringmaster, you know...
Yeah, no, I
head of the clown car. What do you got?
operations manager, I think. I think my husband's actually the president. I have to look at the articles organization. Or maybe me.
Girl, he's not here. You're here. You're president, girl.
It might be me. Oh.
Let's make it you. Presidente. Can we get some applause?
Oh, trust me. He puts up a lot for me, so.
Well, I just put it over there.
See you. Thank you.
There you go. Aren't you kind?
Aren't I nice? Yes. In my world today, you're the president.
So I just want to make sure I understand this. So you're saying that the company, so if you're working for a company, the company doesn't put into this. So if you go, is that correct? Or is there a match?
If you're under 25 employees, the company does not have to contribute. If it's over, they have to contribute a portion of the percentage. However, the company can elect to do your contribution for the employee if they're under 25 or more.
Now, this is interesting.
Mm-hmm. So like some employers might want to do that as an added benefit. So they could say, oh, we're gonna pay your portion. Tax. Yeah, we're gonna pay your portion of this tax.
So let me ask you this: just like unemployment, mm-hmm. that a employer can deny your claim or fight the claim. Is there anything in that nature that an employer can say, no, we don't want them to take?
So I think you can initially. I'm not positive on that. That's what I think the guidance is coming. But I do know that the employee has up to 90 days to provide proof and certification of their leave. So they could be gone for 90 days. And they have to provide that to the agency as well. So I think proving it to the agency is probably more important than to your employer, too.
That would be problematic if you were taking time to take care of a loved one. 90 days might be too long.
Well, you can take that leave during that time. So the employee can be gone for 90 days. And then, and then also you can't make them take, you know, vacation time, any of the sick leave. They're allowed to take that after. So
you're an excellent resource.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So it's, again, we're talking a little bit about the new Massachusetts paid family and medical leave law that mm-hmm. goes into effect September 1st. It could be also October 1st.
October 1st, yeah.
It also depends. I think it's worth noting before Erin exits our conversation that if folks are still confused by all of this that we've talked about.
And they could be.
Do you not have an online...
Oh, we have a fantastic website done by the Riot Agency.
Okay, but coming up, I believe, next Tuesday.
A workshop?
Isn't there some kind of an online workshop?
Yes, we're having
online
webinar.
Did I do that
webinar
without checking with you guys first?
No, it's great.
That's what I thought.
It's great. Yes, we have a webinar, the 20th.
I love webinars.
Like 12 to 1.
Is there a particular app that you should have for the webinar?
Nope, we are, you just need to, you can go to our website and you can sign up for the event. You just need to have an email address so we can send you the Zoom link. It's going to be via Zoom, so you can just download the link right there. You can go to your phone.
Is it like live where you can ask questions like we've been asking?
Yes.
Oh, that's
yes.
Great.
Yeah, and we'll have one person answering, you know, while they're doing the things.
So and it's worth noting that straight line isn't spelled conventionally.
No.
It's STRATLIGN.com.
Yes.
Correct. It's like Stratline.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's straight line.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Two.
Awesome.
Two, a couple. It's all the same.
I have learned a lot of things tonight.
It's exciting stuff, I told you.
Yeah, this is. I mean, this is a big deal.
Anything we haven't asked you, but you feel it's kind of important to at least informing whether there's a perspective.
That this new law affects every single person who's employed?
Anything we haven't asked?
I just think one of the more important things is make sure you get the form signed by your employees by September 30th and start doing your counts for last year. How they're qualified to find out what your counts are, it's actually the total count of W-2s and 1099s for last year, not an average count. So that's how you have to start figuring that out to see what you need to start doing.
Yeah, and I know I probably can't ask you this. We probably should have had an accountant, but I would be curious as to how this would work when it comes to filing your taxes.
I do taxes.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. So how does this have an effect if I go to file my taxes? Can I claim this as a credit?
No. So if you're having this kind of deduction taken out of your paycheck, you do not want it to be pre-tax because then it'll be taxable when you take the benefit. So it should be post-tax, and it's just...
It's just a tax.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people actually will take advantage of it, and it...
I think this is going to help a lot of people.
I think I do, too.
Are working and who are struggling and who are confronted with a situation that's out of their control and is going to give them time that they otherwise wouldn't be able to take. So
yes.
At the end of the day, I think this is a really positive.
Have you found yourself, your company getting busier and busier and then over the past couple of weeks as this is getting ready to go into effect?
We're keeping busy. I think the state of Massachusetts does a good job keeping us very busy. They always like to implement new laws, but it's going to be a big task. Just people don't realize how much it's going to affect them, and they're they're not really educating themselves on it, and they usually rely on someone like us to do it for them, but this is something they actually have to know about directly and learn about.
Anything you want to ask?
No, this has been very informative, and I'm amazed at how little I know about it, and I own a company of like over 100 employees. Now, granted, I have HR staff, so I'm going to make sure they know about it. I assume they do, but
it's very quiet.
I actually didn't hear about the other side of it, that this affects the employees so much. Like, that to me is a big surprise. So this is like really helpful information. People are going to start seeing attacks coming out of their,
yes,
and they're going to be like, what's that for?
Yes, and they have to,
Yeah.
They have no choice.
Yeah, so very interesting. Good stuff.
Well, thank you.
I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I want to thank Sheila for sending the email and getting this thing, getting the conversation started.
Yeah.
Maybe it's worth having Erin back in, maybe end of September, maybe early October, in case there are those late folks who are still confused,
they're definitely
still befuddled by the conversation.
Yeah. By that point, I would like you to have the president put on your business card.
So I have to check. It might
that's
be.
That's going to be. Is that your entry card for?
I was doing him a solid. I mean, he worked. My parents worked for the business at first, and then me. So I was like, oh, you've kind of earned this. So
you.
This is a conversation
Trust
for
me.
Another day.
Yeah, it is.
Megan.
You deserve it.
I'm a very dominant person. So
yeah, you got it, girl.
We're gonna step aside. That's it for the first hour. Go on.
It's over.
It's over.
It like flew by.
You ready for the second hour?
Is it good lead into the new presidential?
Yes. Ben Glebe. We're expecting Ben Glebe.
I mean,
presidential candidate. He's hoping that you will be one of 65,000 people to donate to his campaign so he can be part of the next debate. Let's find out where he stands. Hopefully we'll hear from him shortly. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.
Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Hey, we are back. Second hour of Monday Night Talk. Of course, what's even great is our final segment guest is here, Jen Maceda.
That's right. You got it right. Good job. Because
I watched your video a few times.
Oh, no wonder.
And what's even funnier is our next guest is on the line. I can't wait because this is our first bona fide
presidential
candidate.
I was going to ask you if it was.
It is. Mm. It actually is. And so
it's pretty exciting.
We're breaking new ground here.
Yeah.
And so joining us is the one and only Ben Glebe. Ben, welcome to Monday Night Talk. Ben, are you there?
Kevin, I'm here.
How goes the battle?
The battle, she continues on. It is intense and exciting and never-ending and 24/7, and it is fun, a lot of fun.
You know, I've teased it that you're a comedian, you're somebody who's been on Chelsea lately. As a fan of your Game Show Network, actually, can we tease that? Can we play that real quick, Ben? Just for full disclosure here as to our guest. Play that promo real quick.
An idiot test, sure. Your brain is fair game. These puzzles are more than brain teasers.
Dolly,
here.
They're brain tasers.
Pew!
What? That's hard.
Brain tweakers.
Yeah.
Brain benders.
Sugar!
Brain wreckers.
Oh!
Brain ticklers. It's a brain spanking new season of Idiot Test.
Idiot Test. All new Wednesday, 10, 9 central. Only on GSN.
So, big fan of Idiot Test.
Thank you.
Will there be a now, if you're elected, will there be a presidential celebrity Idiot Test?
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's a good question. I mean, the major reason that I am running is to give Donald Trump an Idiot Test every day of this campaign. And he's been failing every day. He's not even getting the first round correct. So, I'm happy so far with the results of our testing. The tests are conclusive. And there's no $10,000 prize for the president coming his way.
My goodness. What made you decide to say, you know what, enough? I need to get involved. I want to run for president, knowing that there's a number of folks who are going to be, you know, who already got campaigns underway, just like you.
I just realized that nobody was doing it. Nobody is fighting for real people. Nobody that is in politics do I really relate to. Does it seem like somebody that is like me? It's all career politicians and multimillionaires that are in this race, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of people that are not creating systemic change and bringing power back to the people. I'm sick of, look, the reason Donald Trump was elected, and I think he's the greatest heckler in political history, and aside from the fact that to take a heckler down, a comedian is definitely the best shot, because we're not living in normal political times anymore. We're living in a time where this is a reality show world, and if we don't take that into account, we're going to lose again like we did in 2016. But in a more basic level, even Donald Trump, you have to give him credit because he was speaking to people's discontent. He was speaking to the fact that regular people don't feel fought for, they don't feel heard, they don't feel understood. People are struggling to pay their bills, to be able to pay their rent, to have affordable housing, to pay for health care, to increase the education so our country doesn't lag behind others and we actually can set people up for success in the real economy of the future. And no one's addressing those things. And so it's time that somebody finally did. That's why I hopped my hat right into that ring.
So I have to ask you, I know one of the things that you're trying to do right now is you want to be on that debate stage with those other candidates, and you need, I guess they have set a precedent where you have to have 65,000 donors, even if they all donate $1, you have to have that kind of a base. Where do you stand right now in that, as far as that, those numbers?
Well, I got bad news for you on that number. It's even bigger now. Now that we're on the third and fourth debate, it's 130,000 even $1 donations.
Yikes.
But we are well on the way. We have thousands of donations coming in from all around the country. Every single state is supporting us. We've been on the campaign trail. We're making support. I'm about to speak at several big events in Iowa and New Hampshire in the next week and 2 weeks, where I'm speaking alongside every major candidate. Some of them will be televised. Some of them will be on the biggest stage. I'm speaking at events where I'm getting to follow Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and all the front runners. So finally, people are going to get a chance to see my campaign at that top level, side by side with these politicians, and you're going to be able to see what a real person sounds like next to them. And I think that is when the nation will start going to Glebe2020.com and donating that dollar or five or ten or whatever they can afford, so we have the actual resources to compete financially, because we already have the ideas to compete. We just need the money to compete.
Yeah.
And we're getting there. Our fundraising's getting better every single day. We were already the 29th highest fundraising active Democrat campaign this cycle, and we're actively making use of that money in a way much more effective than most of the other eight that are not on the debate stage. We're campaigning all over the country. We've been to many, many states already. We're doing events everywhere and constantly, and doing media constantly, because when we're truly powered by people and truly powered by a grassroots movement of people that actually want real change, systemic change, get the corruption out, get the money out, get the lobbyist money out of our politicians' pockets so we can actually have people voting for what we care about, then you're going to realize that our campaign is the only choice for you. We're the only one that has no vested interest in politics whatsoever. I have nothing to lose in politics. You know, I'm going to fight for regular people because I am one. I'm a working man my whole life and career, and I know what it's like to try to make those bills in the month, and that's who you need in office.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Megan.
Ben, this is Megan. I got an opportunity to be Kevin's sidekick tonight. And
hi, Megan.
I was really excited about you coming. I've actually liked all of our guests this evening, but Ben, you're one of my favorites for tonight because I feel like you're a super celebrity.
He is.
I mean, like a national celebrity. You're not just like a Massachusetts celebrity. You're like a national big-timer.
If the FCC would have allowed us, just for full disclosure here.
What would you have done?
Because he's got this fantastic campaign. I think he did it a couple of weeks ago up in this area. Beers with Ben. And if I could have cracked a beer and had a beer.
You can't do that.
They can't. No, the FCC won't let us. I was going to do root beer or birch beer, but this is we're having the conversation.
We're having beers.
I don't know if that's even true anymore, by the way, because we did in Chelmsford, Massachusetts, we did our big Beers with Ben event, and there was also a town hall meeting. But I was on the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda for 2 years, and I assure you that was real alcohol we were drinking every single day on the air.
Well,
get away with more than you think.
We're doing fake beers with Ben right now.
Package store stat.
Yeah, next time. I'm gonna mental note.
You got it, Mr. T. Beers.
All right, sorry. Ask your question.
You know, one of the things I think, a lot of people are running on, but are trying to say that, but I think one of the most interesting things about your candidacy is this keeping kind of the money out of it. You know, I think when you go down the line, I think absolutely you're right, and the majority of the Democrats that are running are career politicians, have tons of money, or are, you know, millionaires, you know. So can you talk a little bit about how hard that is to get this going as kind of just like your average person? You know, I mean, like, I think what you said was really true. Like, Trump had a big appeal to kind of like the everyday person, but he really wasn't an everyday person. Like, you're not an everyday person either. You're a celebrity, but you were more like an everyday person than anybody else. So yeah. How was that to get started with like nothing?
Yeah, it's challenging for sure. And you hit it on the nose with Trump, is that he definitely said the right things. He said that people were being disaffected and left behind and not spoken to directly, but he was not the right deliverer of the solution. He was a deliverer of the word, but he continued the pattern of always being a con man. He pretended he was going to be for the people, but he's not. He had his business funded by $100 million when he was born, and has been nothing but a multimillionaire and a billionaire his entire life. So it's been very hard because I don't have millions of dollars to self-fund my campaign to kickstart it with. I put $10,000 into my campaign to start, and
$10,000. You started with $10,000. That's to be commended. Good job. That's hard to do.
Thank you so much.
$10,000.
And that's for a presidential campaign. We're competing against campaigns that, from their first day, Elizabeth Warren had like $10 million.
And
Bernie's first day, he had like $50 million at least. I think I'm underreporting those numbers. And we were starting with $10,000. And over the course of these months and these thousands of donations, we're in a better financial place, but barely, and our costs rise every single day as we staff up and hire a bigger and bigger crew to support this real grassroots journey to try to bring change to our country. And so if you really want to support a campaign that is not one that is powered by political machines, but is truly just powered by the passion to help change things during a time when it's harder and harder for everyday Americans to make it, then please support with your dollars that you have, whatever few dollars you have spare, a real everyday American running for office, and go to Glebe, GLEIB2020.com, donate a dollar or five or ten. Please do it right now. While you're on the phone, you can still do it. And while you're listening to this radio show, you can still do it. And help us get on that debate stage, because otherwise politics will never change.
So you're already appealing to my producer, who actually, Ben, do you have a quick question for presidential candidate Gleeb?
I actually just wanted to say your timing was perfect on the mentioning of your website. I literally, during your just
talking here.
You
donated a dollar?
Checked it right out. I am totally getting one of these We Out Here shirts.
I love that. Thank you. That's even a little bit more money for our campaign to keep powered. So thank you so much for that. We Out Here is one of our slogans because it's another kind of slogan normal campaigns don't have. But We Out Here. We're regular people out here trying to make a living, trying to make ends meet. And that's the kind of campaign we want to run, one that just never loses sight of who we are.
I've never heard anything more relatable in my life. Thank you for that.
I concur.
You're very welcome.
All about the swag. All about the swag.
That's right.
So I want to jump right into, you know, knowing that we're just a couple of short days from those two horrific incidents that took place in Texas and Ohio. One of the things that you have here is in regards to guns. Guns are cool. Kids are better. Could you explain?
Absolutely. I believe in the Second Amendment. I would never want to take away your right to bear arms, and I believe that gun ownership is just woven into the fabric of this country. I like shooting guns myself, so it's another way you know that I'm a regular person. I just believe that kids are a lot cooler than guns, and that kids shouldn't fear them being shot at school, and we shouldn't fear being shot at our movie theaters or our shopping centers or our garlic festivals, for crying out loud. I mean, it's like they're trying to attack every place that we just are going to decompress during an already very stressful life. School is stressful enough. School sucked enough growing up. We all remember that, without fear of being shot at it on top of it.
Yeah, and they just did a study of this. 87% of school children that they evaluated actually said one of their top three concerns was gun violence in their school. Imagine that, 87%
of students. It's the saddest thing in the world. And they're selling now at sporting goods stores and back-to-school stores, one of the highest-selling items is bulletproof backpacks.
Yeah.
And if that's acceptable for something to be on a child's mind, is having a backpack that'll stop a murder attempt, a violent mass murder attempt. And if every single person in Congress and the person at the very top of our government does not realize we need to all sacrifice for our common humanity and sacrifice for our children, not our gun rights, not our ability to own or carry weapons, but the ability to have literally weapons of war that shoot without stopping indiscriminately at crowds of people, and in 30 seconds of a shooting in Dayton, Ohio, can kill and severely wound so many people in 30 seconds, then you just have a mental problem that you lack compassion and you lack empathy.
Yeah,
and
well,
you lack
the
ability.
They do, because they're not.
We do.
Yeah, they do, because they're not doing anything.
And 100%, and we must change it immediately. We must have comprehensive compromise. Let's meet in the middle. We're not trying to take away your guns. We need to invest more in mental health, of course, but we have to take assault weapons off of the streets, and we have to limit the size of these magazines, and we have to just make it so that you cannot commit mass murders in our society. And furthermore, we also just have to love each other more, and we have to have more empathy in our child rearing and have more access for children and young adults to mental health services. But if we can't compromise a little bit on the amount of the type of weapons that we have available to everyday citizens, and we can't do comprehensive background checks to make sure that severely mentally ill people or criminals or those who should not have guns have them, look in the mirror before you go to bed and think about children wearing bulletproof backpacks running from a shooter. And if you don't change your opinion by morning, you're not a human being.
I find it interesting, you actually quoted on your website that you shouldn't be able to, and this is in regards to background, thorough background checks, you shouldn't be able to get a gun faster than you can get toilet paper on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
He's right.
Come on now.
Yeah, he's right. I know Dix has done some.
You have to wait 2 days to wipe your butt. I think we should be able to wait a little longer for a gun that you're going to own forever. What's the problem? Plus, if you need a gun right this minute, I think probably waiting a few days to cool down might not be a bad suggestion.
Well, and you know, I don't know how you probably can't kill anybody with toilet paper. Maybe you can.
You could.
You can. The worst you can do is just punish their house.
Mummify them. Mummify their house. Right, yeah.
Again, no, we're speaking with 2020 presidential candidate Ben Glebe, who is kind enough to be on. I want to give a shout out to Charlie and Laura for helping make this happen. And I want to follow this up with one of the other things that I noted that I was interested in is paring down the prison system. Instead of having redundancies, let's make sure that if whether you're a white collar or blue collar prisoner, you go into the same prison.
Exactly right. So enough of stratifying ourselves and dividing ourselves along all of these unnecessary lines. We focus far too much on our differences and don't focus nearly enough on our common humanity. Now we are all the same. We don't need to constantly be dividing ourselves by party lines and by every single group that we want to identify more than the whole. The groups are flavor on our lives. They are not the essence of who we are. The essence is our common humanity as human beings. And so we certainly don't need also a class system in our prisons. We certainly don't need to allow white-collar criminals to steal the life savings of millions of people and be put in a country club jail that is not at all a punishment environment. They don't even lock the doors on some of these white-collar prisons. And while at the same time you're having people that are in jail for selling weed in their communities just so they could put food on the table for their families, which is not a great thing to do, but it's certainly not a crime worthy of a life in prison next to murderers and rapists. And so if you combine those prisons and you put white-collar criminals in regular lockup, you're going to see two things happen very fast. And nobody else has this idea, but it shows you they're small, in-the-box thinking. You're going to have prison reform very fast because these white-collar criminals would not be able to survive in that system. They would see the realities of it. And you're going to see white-collar crime drop right through the bottom because they're not going to risk being put in a prison they wouldn't survive 5 minutes in.
This
is the kind of out-of-the-box thinking that we need in this country.
Yeah, and, you know, I think what's interesting is if you go to your website, so the Gleib2020.com. And
G-L-E-I-B.
Yep, thank you for that, 2020.com. You know, when you look through, I think you have you really bulleted pointed all of the sort of things that you believe in. It's so common sense. Like, you know, I couldn't find something in your issues, and I actually am a registered independent, believe it or not. I couldn't find something in the way you've laid it out that didn't make sense to me. It's a very common sense strategy. I really hope people go online.
See, here's the thing you have to understand is you can't go to Walgreens and buy a container of common sense and take it. You either have it or you don't, right, Ben?
That's exactly right. And we need to elect people who have that common sense. That's why I've called myself two things, the compassionate capitalist, and I've called myself the common sense candidate. Just released a speech on my social media channels just a couple of days ago called the Common Sense Candidate, where I outline just all the ways on many more than just the 13 issues that you see on the website. And we're about to be releasing another 7 issues to be 20 issues for 2020, where it's just common sense leading the way we think. And that's the way we can all find middle grounds. And that's why a comedian would be such a perfect choice to lead our country, because we have common sense out the wazoo. Our whole ability to make people laugh is by pointing out the absurdities and how society is doing things wrong and suggesting different ways to do them better, more effectively, more efficiently. That's what my comedy has always been based on, and that's what hosting Idiot Test I was hired to do. It's because I have a particularly developed sense of being able to find the point in somebody's brain where they made a wrong choice and made no sense and led them to a wrong answer, and point out exactly, usually in pretty funny ways, where they went wrong and how their brain could have gone a little bit different, how they could have thought just this little other way in, and they could have arrived at the correct solution that works for everybody. And that's what I would do for our country, is help us with common sense get back to a place where we believe in everything we are doing, because they are things that apply and work for all of us. We need a world and a country that works for all of us. And so if we don't start thinking better and harder and start working together and start agreeing and start focusing more on our commonalities than we do on our differences, we will never have change. And we need to do common sense things we haven't even talked about yet on the website, but we're about to be unveiling, which is we need an anti-corruption act. We need to get lobbyist money out of our politics.
Amen.
Obviously, we should never, ever allow a lobbyist to fund the campaign of anybody running for office.
Mm.
That could be passed by one bill in Congress. If we just say lobbyists are never allowed to donate to a federal campaign like a federal contractor can't do, boom, right there, you now have them freed forever from the prison of special interest money controlling their decisions. With that one bill, you pass one other very simple bill, which is Congress can only vote on one issue at a time. And that way, you hold them accountable for their votes. That way, you directly tell the people, guess what? I know you didn't vote as you promised me because you didn't vote that way on a clean bill that was just for the 9/11 victim compensation bill or just for cleaner energy investment. You can't say, oh, I wanted to, but there were other things or other poison pills in there and I couldn't vote for that bridge. No, one item at a time. Congress doesn't get so much done. They should be trying to multitask. A do-nothing Congress shouldn't multitask. Get one thing done at a time, have clean bills. That way we know what you're voting for or against and if you're lying to us when you run for office again in 2 years or in 4 years. That's the simple things you can do to change our government in such major ways that you finally are more accountable to the people. And that's why our other slogan is take our democracy back. Enough of allowing these greedy elites in power to continue amassing more of the power at the very top and giving lip service to everybody every 4 years about how they're going to fix every damn thing all at once and then never changing anything systemically. We must listen to the people more directly. That's what I pledge to do. And the fact that I'm unveiling a plan in about a week in Iowa and during a big speech I'm delivering alongside the other major candidates where I will unveil a plan that none of the other candidates will probably be able to sign on to, a revolutionary idea, or even as president, I will let the American people decide a great amount of the actions that I will undertake as president. I'm going to let the people vote throughout my term, not just once every 4 years.
Ben, if I can kind of throw this out there, you're somebody who has been a political contributor for the likes of CNN, NPR, Huffington Post, ABC News, and more. Are you getting the press? Are you getting the exposure that you deserve? Or are you being shunned by the big media?
Major media.
It's so crazy. They all had me on when I wasn't running for office, when I was safe doing some political comedy for them. They all had me on. And as a candidate, I'm being shunned by most of them. Interestingly, Fox Business and Fox Nation have had me on, and the Young Turks have had me on. And, you know, I just had a conversation with Vice News, and I'm hoping they have me on. But the CNNs and MSNBCs and the major networks have not acknowledged our campaign at all. And I think they are afraid of somebody who's going to upend the system. Trump, they're willing to take the gamble because he brought them such ratings.
Well, he was an interesting figure. He was an interesting figure, so they paid attention to him.
Celebrity.
But they would have done the same thing to him, I think, if he wasn't such an interesting figure. They would have done the same thing, I believe.
100%.
You know, what are the other...
And so we need the people to do it. Whenever the media ignores somebody who's actually gaining some real traction and doing some real things and saying some revolutionary ideas, that's exactly when you want to double down on that person and donate to that campaign because there's something that they're saying that the powers that be do not want out there.
Mm. What do the other candidates think of you?
Yeah.
Tulsi Gabbard, right? Go ahead.
I was going to say, and if you are able to get up on that stage and debate, do you already have the issues, whether you go after Bernie when it comes to... Medicaid or medical for all? Do you go after Elizabeth Warren? Do you go after Joe Biden? Do you go after the heavy hitters? Or do you work your way up?
No, I don't know that we have exactly our attack plan figured out for how we plan to you know, go through the field. I know that I don't plan to attack them. I definitely plan to point out differences, and I plan to point out where they have not been in favor of systemic change and have not been as urgent in pushing for that change as they should be, because our problems are dire, our problems are now, and I've had enough of lip service. But no matter what happens at the end of this race, whether it's me as the nomination or not, we have to unify against Donald Trump, and we have to unify against this person who promised to be for the people but instead seems to be only for special interests, permanent tax cuts just for the rich, not for the rest of us, temporary for us, but permanent for the rich. Isn't that convenient and interesting? And seems to want to impress dictators more than the everyday American people that I meet on the campaign trail.
It's very refreshing. It's unfortunate that you haven't gotten the national media that you deserve. You know, if there's anybody out there listening who knows anybody at CNN, you should give them a call. Tell them
Thank you so much. You're listening to CNN, because CNN thus far has told me that I'm off brand for them. And I I have a pretty strong feeling that the news shouldn't even have a brand. Your job is to report what happens.
Exactly.
I think the problem, though, Ben, is that there isn't a neutral national medium to be able to offer a candidate like yourself an opportunity, or other candidates like yourself, because you're seeing right now the gravitational pull of each party is either going far left or far right. And we're not only seeing that just on the national level, but we're seeing it in when it comes to local politics these days, too. It's trickling down, like Ronald Reagan once said.
That's exactly right. It's making even stronger and stronger the difficulty to have your own positions and your own staked out opinions. It just is being dictated for us what we believe, and it's because of the dominance of this two-party system that just serves to quell, really, once again, our democracy. And it's another area we have to take our democracy back, and that's why another reform I'm in favor of is ranked choice voting. And what that is that you should be allowed to vote not just for your top choice, but you should be able to rank your top three choices. Mm. So you can support a smaller candidate like myself.
I like that idea.
You can support independent candidates, and then if that person gets enough support and gets 51%, they win. If they don't, you have not wasted your vote. They just take that name off of the next count, and they go to your second choice, and you keep doing that until somebody gets 51% of the vote. And that way you can support... I don't know whose idea it was, but I believe in it, and I will fight for it.
It's a great one.
Well, Ben, we want to thank you so much for joining us and talking about your campaign, your presidential campaign. Before we wrap, is there a topic or an issue we didn't touch upon, but you want to at least take a moment to at least whet our listeners' appetite with that final morsel?
Absolutely. I'm going to hit you with two on that, if I can. Okay. One is very important to our everyday lives, and one's very important to our future. Our everyday lives are affected by the constant, and I touched on it before, but the constantly growing gap between the very, very elite rich and the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And so we have to take measures to help low and middle income workers in this country. There's plenty of social programs already that help people that don't have jobs and that truly are at the very bottom of our spectrum, but we need to help. Life is still hard for those of us even that are in the middle class and are working very hard every day. So that's why my campaign is in favor of and is fighting for a cost of living tax refund for everybody that works a full-time job or more. Often it's two or three jobs, but if you're working a full-time job, you will get a tax refund sent to you, and you can get it monthly to help you pay those bills, to help you save a little bit for an emergency, to help you maybe start that business you've been wanting to start and start saving towards that. We need to do things to help everyday people. Our tax system should not be one that the tax check you write is felt, the pain of it is felt by us in the middle class and lower income people in this country, and is not felt by the rich. That's not a redistribution of wealth to tax them a little bit more. They just need to be taxed at the level they actually feel the pain of writing that check like we all do. That's just simple fairness. And that's just the country we should live in, is one that is fair. So that's what we will fight for on both those ends there. And then for the future is our environment. Our planet is a grave, grave risk. We all know it. 98% of the scientists in the world agree that we need to take drastic measures to get off of fossil fuels and implement most of the principles of the Green New Deal within the next 12 years. Otherwise, we are beyond the point of no return, and we will have mass migration crises. You think we have an immigration crisis badly now, you're going to have everybody moving in from the coast, you're going to have flooding, you're going to have mass homelessness, you're going to have mass problems, extinction of species, and an uninhabitable planet if we do not take action. And so could there be a more dire thing? We must take care of our pocketbook issues and our environment. And we can do both of those things if we start using our brains again. We invest in future technologies, the energies of the future. That way we can compete against China, who's kicking our butt when it comes to those kind of things and is taking the lead on those things. And instead, we can actually regain our economic dominance by investing in the future while saving our lives, the lives of our children. If that's not something we can all get behind, I don't know what is. On day one in my administration, I got us back in the Paris Climate Accord. And on day two, I begin calling every world leader and fighting for a more comprehensive agreement and a more enforceable agreement, one that is much more stringent and aggressive towards addressing the needs that we need to in this country. We all have to sacrifice a little bit. Life ebbs and flows. And we're in a time where things are ebbing a little bit. And if we don't adhere to that reality, we're going to regret it. We can do it together, and life will still be fun. I'll be able to fix these problems and you'll have a comedian as president. So at least when I ask you to compromise, my speeches will be fun and funny, and you'll laugh and you'll smile and be like, oh, all right, let's just do it because it's for the common good, and it's presented in a way that didn't seem scary or lectured at me. But it was through that guy's Idiot Test that has always made things fun.
Ben, we want to thank you so much for being our guest, talking about your campaign. Would love to have you back on, maybe, whether it's a couple of weeks, a month, a couple of months, just to kind of give an update to the folks here on the East Coast as to how things are going with the campaign, if you're so willing.
I would absolutely love that. It's been a really wonderful conversation. And please, just if you don't mind, please encourage your listeners to go to GLEAD2020.com, donate a dollar or more, so that we have any real shot at bringing this real change to people in a way that really matters to them.
Excellent. Passionate. Best of luck, and we look forward to talking to you again, hopefully real soon.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you so much, and thanks for watching my game show. It's really nice of you.
I love that game show. All right.
Hashtag passionate.
There you go. Hashtag passionate. Hashtag Ben Gleeb. Hashtag Ben Gleeb 2020.
Hashtag
there you go,
Ben
right
Gleeb
there.
2020.
We got to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. People ask me, is there anything they can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
Is there anything I can do to prevent getting a broken windshield?
See? There is. Those big gravel trucks, when they're being loaded, rocks get stuck in the framework of the bed. Truck hits a bump, rock hits your windshield. It pays to stay way back.
It pays to stay way back.
However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
In the year 2020, a powerful replica of the Vietnam Wall in Washington, D.C. will be permanently displayed at the Veterans Memorial Bicentennial Park in Fall River for veterans, families, and visitors from our local area, as well as all of Massachusetts and Rhode Island. The wall will honor the men and women who made the heroic and ultimate sacrifice in Vietnam. Help us make this very special memorial a reality. Please visit VietnamMemorialWall.org.
Met our friend Dave at this year's Cigar BBQ. Listen, Dave, it's not that I don't like the government. You got me all wrong. It's I don't like a tyrannical government that rips its people off under the pretense of taking care of us, telling us the money is going to be used for something and then using it for something else. Obviously not the MBTA. No, no, no. 18's not an adult. 21 is an adult. Oh, by the way, you can't have that flavor and you can't have that style now that you're a big person. But go ahead, go down the bar and drink all the flavored booze you can and get as clobbered as you want. You want to talk about community impact? They finally fixed 44 down at Plymouth Ragua. It only took 20 years. How's that for community impact? Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts, because we pay our taxes. Dave!
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Monday Night Talk, but coming up at 8 o'clock, I'm kind of doing double duty tonight. I'm going to be sitting in with Crosscheck Radio with two-time Stanley Cup winner, Kevin Stevens. Well, actually, I'm trying to fill the big skates of Kevin Stevens, a first-line prolific scorer. Here I am, this mucker. So I'm going to be sitting in with Andy and Alex. We got some great guests. Be sure to tune in coming up at 8 o'clock. I mean, still stay tuned to this show. Jen is our headliner. Yeah. She's going to be here chatting with us in a few moments about a great conference. But Crosscheck Radio coming up 8 o'clock, where hopefully I'll catch my second wind, per se. So who do we have for our final guest, Megan? Megan, you get to introduce
a
guest.
I feel this is inaugural, right? I haven't done this before. So this is actually so excited about being able to do this because I've known Jen for not that long. I met you at a conference we both spoke on at a panel.
That's right.
And I was enamored by you.
I feel the same about you.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's like
kindred. God, I feel the same about you too.
Yeah. Oh, see? It's a love. Hashtag love. We're going to do a lot of hashtags after this one.
Hashtag but God.
Yeah. So Jen is a powerhouse CEO and founder of a company or organization, really, right? Called She's Local Company.
It's now a national brand. That's right.
A national brand.
Yes.
Wow. So she is here. And I invited her because... She's Local is just cool, and I want you to talk about that. But
let her say a little bit about herself.
Say a little bit about yourself.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, Jen.
I would love to do that. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. So She's Local is something that is relatively new for us, but it's built off of the platform that we created in the Metro West region. So the Metro West Conference for Women came first. We're now in our third sold-out year. We have about 45 tickets left in Metro West, and that's upwards of 650 people coming together to talk about.
And it's worth, let's make sure, even though it's another audience, there may be folks who here on the South Shore who may want to attend, because that's going to be in September.
That's right. It is September 19th, so jump on the sheslocal.org website, and you can get tickets to the Metro West Conference for Women, and then the South Shore Conference for Women that is October 11th, which is the first ever South Shore Conference for Women. So we are super excited about that. It's got two keynotes. We have Michelle Culley and we have Liz O'Donnell. And both of them are incredible rock stars that are so gifted in sharing their stories and really inspiring our audience. And then our conference is so unique because we have only women from that local community as panelists in the conference. So 10 breakouts, we've got over 30 South Shore women that are so committed to sharing their passion and their excitement about what really drives them every day and sharing that with other South Shore women. And it's only for $52, which is unheard of for a full day quality conference that gets you breakfast, lunch, and wine in the evening.
Like I was saying, you know, to friends, we were talking about this, I was like, you know, what's so great about these conferences, again, they're designed by women, they're for women, and they're, if you work, if you don't work, if you're thinking about starting a business, if you've never thought of starting a business, like, it's just inspirational to be around other women who are making things happen, and it just sparks something in you to think about something a different way, or handle a situation in your family a different way, you know, and I have, I really appreciated my time with you, and I'm really, like, looking forward to the conference in South Shore. I think it's going to be a really great, I know it's going to be a great event, and I'm excited for the people who get to come.
I am too, and thank you for being one of our panelists too.
So
that's
talking about entrepreneurship.
You're on a panel?
Yes.
I'm running I'm one of three other women.
It's three other women and a moderator.
And a moderator, yep. And we're talking about entrepreneurship. Like the kind of like if you had a good idea, if you ever had an idea, now what?
How do I grow that idea?
Yeah, how do I build
it? And so your role, as well the others who are on the panel, will be to help those who might have that little kernel that they want to plant and grow it to be the next entrepreneur who wants to sit on a panel to share that, how they grew their business.
And if they want to do one thing, you know, for that just themselves, and they want it to be a one-person business, or they have the dream of building a 100-person company, like advice to how do you get off the ground?
That is what is also so unique about the South Shore Conference for Women The women that are attending are not from one particular industry. Right. Our data set is so incredibly unique. They come from every industry, but they are also out of industry. And they are stay-at-home moms. They're working out of the house. They're entrepreneurs. And they just want to move. That's really the thread that connects all of the women, other than their gender. The reason why they're there is because they want to move through whatever stage of life they find themselves in right now.
Yeah.
We have young women. So in the Metro West region, we have between 18-year-olds to 81-year-olds. Mm. It's such a broad swath of women.
Heck of a demographic.
It's incredible. And that's why we get so much incredible support as well. And that's the only reason why we can do $52 is because here in the South Shore, we have South Shore Health. We've got South Shore Bank. We've got EMD Serono. We've got Hebrew Senior Life. They all know the value of the work that we are doing and the accessibility to this platform.
How important is it that women support women who run businesses and organizations? How important is that? Because we all know that sometimes it's not easy to get everybody to go in the same direction. How do you take all these individuals, get them together, and focus positive energy amongst each other?
It's critically important to support each other. And that is actually a unique sentiment. And it's happening more regularly, which is a great thing. But it's unique for women at the top to also make space for other women to align themselves and to bring others forward. To mentor each other, right, and to select each other as employees and as leaders and as community partners. It's so critical, and it's not necessarily easy for everyone because it doesn't always automatically happen. When there's less space at the top, you become, that competitive spirit comes out, and everybody wants to be a winner. That's fantastic. And we will encourage them to be winners in whatever work that they're doing. But at the same time, reach out and bring others along, because it lifts all of us in everything that we do.
Yeah, and I would also just say too to that one of the things that I've been that I've really been attracted to, just sort of in like women empowerment and wage transparency and the things we're doing with our legislation and that I've been working on personally, but I find that it's a really nice safe place to have conversations that you really can't have at work. Right. So, because it's sort of male dominated in many cases, especially for women in leadership. So it's really nice to be amongst other people who kind of feel your pain a little bit.
That's right. They're living the same relatable lives.
Yeah.
That's right.
And trying to do everything, none of it well. That's how we feel about ourselves, right? That we're trying to do everything and we don't do it well. Even though we're doing lots of things.
We're doing everything really
well.
Great.
We're doing really well. And so in any event, it's just nice to be amongst other like-minded women who want to be there in support of other women. And it just creates sort of a collegiate environment,
and
a happy,
yep,
uplifting.
And congratulations on your wage transparency
bill, too.
Yeah. That is so exciting because, as the presidential candidate was just talking about, it's lip service in one sense. If you just say this is a policy that we want everybody to follow, and it is something so much more impactful when you say, all right, that's your policy, but now we're going to come back and we're going to ask you what's happening within a year, within 5 years, and we want to see that you are sharing that number so that all women can have the same opportunities that men have. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I want to deviate just for half a second in regards to the South Shore Conference for Women. And go back to the She's Local. Talk to me about digital media and how that helps deliver the message of the organization and the website.
Well, we started the Metro West Conference for Women with zero marketing dollars, which is so critical to the work that we do. We are connecting local women in the places that they are getting their information, like radio stations, like Facebook mm-hmm. accounts, like Instagram. And that's what's grown this grassroots organization to be something that is now connecting thousands of local women across Massachusetts. And now we just started the Merrimack Valley Conference for Women. So we're going to span two states with New Hampshire as as well. So this is creating something that has a lot of buzz, and you know, $0 spent on marketing, mm-hmm. all dollars spent on supporting women so that they can attend that conference is really unheard of for an organization to grow that quickly.
And it's, you know, we're sitting here marveling that we had, you know, a comedian, TV star, president, Democratic
That's
presidential
right.
candidate. Well, we have an award-winning TV star with us right now, Megan, whether you know that or not.
I do.
And she's turning all kinds of red here.
You're embarrassing me.
Jen is known for an award-winning show, Women to Women, and Women to Women Today.
Yes.
Which was something that was created in, was it Access Framingham?
It was. And we ran that show, and they did a beautiful job for 3 years.
Won a regional award, was it?
We have won 3 regional awards. Yes.
I want to let you.
Beautiful. Yes, and you know that started when I was working in a large nonprofit that is similar to a large corporation, and I really felt like I was missing that connection to women. So I would take time from my family one Sunday a month. Sometimes I would bring the kids. Sometimes my wonderful, amazing, supportive husband would take care of the kids while I was interviewing these phenomenal women, and they would give me such nuggets of hope and inspiration. And that's really where the idea came from. I was thinking, how many people are really watching Access channels?
A lot of us.
There should be more, because there's some phenomenal programming on Access Cable. And it's so critical to local communities, because that's really how you're sharing what's happening in local communities. And I thought, this needs to be on a larger scale. And then we all need to get together and chat with these amazing women.
So that was like the beginning.
That
really.
Was the beginning
that was
of
the
it.
Idea.
Everybody
that, you
that
had
was on the show, almost everybody that was on the show was a speaker at the conference.
That's awesome.
I know.
Yeah.
So right now it's just in hiatus. So will you revisit that? Will it be a grander She's Local type of programming
it's
that
not
you
in
may?
The cards, I can tell.
Something similar to that is in the cards, because that sense of learning and building the relationship, you know, walking into our conference, it's a one-time, day-long experience with an evening the night before, where we have a female comedian from that local region in the South Shore. It's Christine Hurley. Yeah, phenomenal speakers and comedians, and Jamie Washington is the MC for the event. She's so fantastic.
She's done some work for me for my company since I met her.
The day before, correct?
Is that the evening before?
Yeah, a VIP session?
That's right, VIP session.
Yep.
Again, an accessible price point for that too at $35. And the feeling that you get when you are in that conference, and when you are at the end of that day, you think you can take on the world. You know,
the world.
I'm wrong. You know you can take on the world.
Yep, it's so
and
true.
You've got all your sisters around you that are ready to support you. And then what happens the next day? You call, you email, you connect, you pull out your Rolodex, and that's my age. But, right, you figure out how you can connect with these women, because they're in your local community. Yep. They're down the street from you. They're your neighbors. They're at the grocery store. They're, at your local coffee shop. You're going to connect with them, which is great. But then how can we continue to build that relationship in easy nuggets of information that you can consume in a way that continues that fire, that continues that...
But you can go back to.
You can go
you
back
can
to it.
You can return to it. You return
yes,
to that
right.
feeling.
So there is something that's coming. And I'm hoping it will include me, but I'm at service to the women that are in local communities.
As a facilitator.
It no longer needs to be me in the camera, and it needs to be the local women who making it happen. And that's who I'm in service to. So
we're speaking with Jen Maceda. She's the CEO and founder of She's Local. And while we have you for a few more minutes, I think it's worth noting the website, and also exhibitors. Do you have exhibitors that are involved, and are you looking for exhibitors to get involved with either the Metro West Conference or the South Shore Conference?
That's a great question, because we are sold out of our exhibitor
spaces.
How's
that feel?
It feels good.
Bring on the
That's amazing. school. I need one of those applause buttons.
But I think honestly, I have a
for a small fee.
Yeah, for a small, yes. For a small fee, you can take him home tonight. Actually,
I don't think my husband would like that.
I own the button.
Oh, you can take him home tonight. You get Kevin, Jen.
I'm thrilled.
We're gonna play a game show.
Yes.
Who gets to take home Kevin?
No. Okay, the website, sheslocal.org, and then it's a slash to get to the South Shore. It's south-shore. You'll find it on sheslocal.org, both conferences. And then launching in the spring is the third conference, the Merrimack Valley Conference for Women. The amount of information on that website is constantly being updated. So our panels, who is going to be speaking. We've got a great group of web designers, Wolfdog Media, who are helping us to make sure that all the information that we need is on there. It's been a bit of a struggle with technology, but we've got a new team in there that is really psyched and ready to help us out. And again, you can buy tickets, but exhibitor tables, we sold out so quickly with exhibitor tables. And
a lot of companies supporting women.
We don't tell the Boston Marriott Quincy, but we oversold our exhibitor tables.
That's right.
Yeah. So we've got 46 exhibitors that are so excited to present to the women in the South Shore. Now, get on the website and buy your ticket because it's going to go quickly. $52.
Can you just talk a little bit about, I mean, I talked about the panel that I'm on, but can you just give a broader swath
some of the other
topics that are being bitten off?
Yep. So we have five topic tracks for every conference that She's Local does. Yep. So South Shore has personal prosperity, professional success, health and well-being, entrepreneurship and leadership, which is your panel. We've got two panels of each. Yeah. And then we've got family. So
like what
what more
is
do you
there,
need?
Well, exactly. Like is there something that we aren't touching on that affects women on the South Shore?
Well, what is unique about our conference too? There's so many unique pieces to this and the equation is really exciting. We go into local communities and ask what it is that South Shore women want to hear about. Yeah. We had 6 months of open meetings where we would bring together between 40 and 60 women, and they would share their needs, their topics of interest, their struggles. It was really personal and beautiful. And then we asked South Shore for speakers, and South Shore had over 100 speaker applications come through from women on the South Shore.
How do you vet those? Yeah. How do you pare those down?
Well, we've got an amazing operation guru in Alex Carlton,
she's
phenomenal. She is my
she's
partner
like
in crime for sure.
She's a silent killer, that one. She is. She'll love that. I think she will.
She's a phenomenal human being, absolutely. And she's been running our speaker committee for the last 3 years in Metro West, and now she is part of our national brand, which I'm really excited about. So she then, along with every local community, Raquel Mullaney, who is 1620 Winery and Wine Bar. She chaired the speaker committee along with Alex's support. She and that local community decide who the speaker's on, and it's all guided and based on the information that South Shore women have wanted to hear through those open meetings.
That's amazing.
It's a customized conference.
Can I just say something about Alex Carlton?
You've got three
really
minutes,
quickly.
So you're going to be super quick.
I'm going to be super fast, but she and her husband walk their kids to school every day, and I just want to just highlight how incredibly sweet that is.
It's a beautiful thing.
It really is, and I think it just speaks volumes every single day.
She's an amazing human being.
Yeah. Before I have you give out information, you're going to say hi to my cousin Nikki, who's listening down in Florida.
Nicole, we miss you in Metro West. I hope Florida is doing right by you because they are lucky to have you.
It was interesting. Folks don't know, but I saw when I was looking on your website, oh my God, this is my cousin. She's right
like
there.
Like a picture
in the
on the website,
picture
right?
From
and she's
a past
stunning.
Conference.
She's stunning.
Undeniably.
She's a model rock star.
And on top of, and she called you a rock star. She sent me a text. Aww. She's a rock star. A lot of love going on
Hashtag
here.
Rock star.
All day long. Important information.
Yes.
You want to get that out as far as the South Shore Conference, or if you want to give out information for the Metro West one.
Well, both of them can be found on www.sheslocal.org, and then select the conference of your choice, whether it's Metro West or South Shore. You can also follow us on Instagram if you go to She's Local, and then She's Local _South Shore, and She's Local _ Metro West and She's Local underscore Merrimack Valley. You get the theme here. So anything related to South Shore is going to She's Local is going to be about the conference within your local community. And we're looking for other communities. We were just talking with somebody in Abilene, Texas, also New Jersey, potentially Rhode Island. There are local women who are really clamoring and excited about creating a platform that is totally customized to their local community and supported in a way that brings inspiration to women who potentially might not be able to access it.
How does it feel to be an innovator?
I don't consider myself an innovator. I just followed a passion that is working and is sort of taking on a life of its own, and I'm following it in service and in gratitude. I'm living a dream.
Jen, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I hope that you'll come back if you have...
It'd be an honor.
If you're going to do more groups on the South Shore here and speak with folks, maybe we have you back in to kind of promote the groups and have the conversation. Megan, nice job this evening.
It was lovely to be here. Thank you for asking me, Kevin.
Did you enjoy?
I did.
Now, did you
My kids listened. Hi, Maddie. Hi, Bailey.
Did you tell your mother-in-law that you're going to be on?
I told her at her birthday party on Saturday night.
Did you know what she said?
You know what she said? She said, oh, Kevin.
Oh, she's Marilyn. A fan.
I love Marilyn. Marilyn is fantastic. And she is awesome in her own right.
She is awesome.
She should come to the conference.
I think she won an Emmy.
She won an Emmy. She did. I'm not joking.
She coming to the conference?
She has an Emmy. She won an Emmy.
She would be a great speaker.
Yeah, she's great.
I would love to meet her.
Yeah, she's turned 79.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'll bring her to the conference.
She's young. Please do.
I'll bring her to the conference.
Okay.
She's coming to the conference. You're going to meet her and my mother. You'll meet my mother too.
I can't wait. Yeah.
That's all the Monday Night Talk that we have. That's it.
Sad.
We have exhausted the show, but fear not. You still get more Kevin Tocci. I'm going to be joining the next show in a couple of moments as I'm going to sit in with Andy and Alex as I'm going to try to fill the giant skates of Kevin Stevens on Cross Check Radio. Joey Voices is one of those as well. Make sure you tune in. And Joe Carroll, two great guests that are going to be joining us. So. Till next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great evening.